Good morning. My name is Benny Yu. I was the guy in that video. I'm really grateful to Union Church. I've been dodging Jerry and Lance because they've been always asking me to come. I was like, oh, I'm too busy. I can't these Sundays. And I was like, you know, it's like 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. And I figured I might have got past that. And it was like the fifth or sixth time. And I was like, okay, I can't say no anymore. So I'm really grateful to be here with you guys this morning. And for me, it's an honor because we do get to walk with you as El Pozo de Vida, or the Well of Life, with Union Church. It's been an amazing journey. So I don't know if you do know that, but this church has been so generous with our organization and the work that we do to fight human trafficking. And our organization has grown. It's been a little over 10 years now. My wife and I have been here for over 12 years. I am now Mexicano. I have my Mexican passport and INE. So I'm proud to be a Mexican and proud to be a part of this country. Because I know what God wants to do here in this nation is going to cause rumblings throughout this region. And so, and we get to be a part of it. Each and every one of you are a part of it as we walk together to fight injustice and to establish God's kingdom and reign here on earth. And so this church supports us so generously. We just want to thank you. And as a result, our organization has grown. We have now more than 10 projects working in the areas of prevention, intervention, and restoration. It's not just a safe house. We have a community center in actually 4 projects in red light districts. We have community centers. We have culinary programs. We have job placement programs. Actually, that's a partnership with World Vision that we have. We are actually doing prevention programs in the schools. We reached over 35,000 students in the schools last year alone, and we plan on reaching millions. I won't go into detail, but what I am excited about and what I would like to share with you is the Lord has granted us great favor within this region, and not just only in Mexico, but all of Central America. So there is a regional coalition for anti-trafficking from all the federal governments between Mexico and Panama, including the DR. And they have asked us as a nonprofit to come and be their technical advisors and to advise them to make sure that the programs that we are using on the ground, they want to start using and in their countries. So we get to be able to be a part of that and to be able to shape these nations to fight human trafficking. And it's really deep in my heart because, as you saw in the video, it's a place of deep pain within my life. But it's not just pain. It's redeemed pain. It's what God has done in my life to redeem that. Because I firmly believe that whatever we might face in life, whatever that might be, the suffering, the hurt, the pain, God intends not only to heal it, but he intends to redeem it. And redeem it to the point that whatever might be your weakness will become your greatest strength. And that's what God is constantly doing, and we see it all throughout the Bible. And I want to talk a little bit about that as you guys are continuing the series on the Apostles' Creed. And actually today, it's about I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. It says in 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me read that one more time. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It seems like a good deal, doesn't it? That God would forgive us from our sins. It's like, I remember when McDonald's came out with the value meal. I don't know if some of us are old enough to remember that. Before, you had to buy the hamburger separate from the drink, but then all of a sudden they said, well, we're just going to put it into a package, you know? And I remember the day where, you know, it was being, you know, promoted, and I walked in, I was like, oh my gosh, I can get all three for one price, you know? It was a great deal. And there's this great deal that Jesus has for us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. See, it's not about your faithfulness. It's not about what you have done well, what you can potentially do well for him, the good that you can do, or all the good to make up for all the bad that you have done in life. It's about just confessing, and God would be faithful. It's not dependent upon your faithfulness. It's actually dependent upon God's faithfulness. And many of us think, well, you know, I don't know if I'm really worthy. I don't know if I can really bring these sins before God. I don't know if he's really going to forgive me. It has nothing to do with what you have done or have not done. The word of God is very clear. It's more about his faithfulness than about your unfaithfulness. My question to you is this. Why don't we take him up on this offer? Why is it that we find ourselves not praying and not confessing our sins as often as we should? You know, we know we sin, right? The first verse in 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, any sinless people here? We're sinful people. Yeah, everybody should be raising their hands. I understand. You just might feel, oh God, I don't know if you could really forgive me. This is the sin that I'm carrying is just way too big. You might have shame or guilt associated with it. But God's word is also faithful. It says in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there's now no condemnation. No condemnation. No means no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So I think the important part here is that conditional statement, that conditional word, in if we confess our sins. Many of us, we will go through life not confessing our sins to God. I was a little bit unsure if I wanted to share this story with you guys, but I'm going to go there because I really sense in the spirit this is an expression of God's grace and favor and great and his faithfulness in our lives. So this was when my wife and I, we were dating. We had, I had already asked her hand in marriage. We were engaged. And so she was working, I was working, we were saving up money for our wedding. And one December evening, after dropping her off at home, at her home, I was driving back to my apartment, and this was in the East Coast in the Washington, D.C. area, and so it was around 8 o'clock at night, so it was really dark, you know. And there was no moon out, it was a really dark night. And the road close to her home, where I had dropped her off, was a very curvy, wooded road. And I was about to go up this hill, and then a man that was trying to cross the street took a step back because he saw cars coming down the hill, and he was wearing a parka, so he didn't have any peripheral vision, and he took a step back to avoid the cars that were coming down the hill and stepped right into my lane. I had no time to react, and he came through my windshield. He eventually passed away on Christmas Eve of that year. I had to go to to court because he had passed away. And I remember sitting in the back of the courtroom with his eldest son, who happened to be a neurosurgeon at Georgetown University. And I had really no other words to say, but I'm sorry. And it turned out that this family, you know, was a very, like, academic family. And really had all the right to be able to judge me, to be able to hurl insults at me, to condemn me. And I said to him, as I was shaking, my whole body was shaking, I said, I really don't have any other words to say, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. And he looked straight into my eyes, and he said this. He said, "Our family, we forgive you. We forgive you." At that moment, I knew, and to this day, I know that I have never experienced like that amount of forgiveness of an offense I have done against another person. And through that, I had learned what it means to forgive and what it means for me to forgive others, because the cost the cost of the pain that I have caused towards other people was so great, it was hard for me to hold any more grudges in life. And when we talk about the forgiveness of sins, it's not just about us asking God to forgive our sins individually. But as a matter of fact, when we look at the Gospels, Jesus talks more about how we forgive each other than compared to how we are asking forgiveness to God for our own personal sins. Essentially, Jesus was more concerned about how we would treat one another, how we would be the church, how we would show the world what forgiveness looks like by the way that we forgive and love one another. See, it might be easy for us to, you know, say, okay, I committed a sin, I did something wrong, I need to ask God for forgiveness and confess my sins to him and know that he is faithful. But it's another thing to forgive those who have offended us. And we could carry a spirit of offense within us because we feel we are in the right and that we should not forgive that person. And to see how God's heart and his intent for us is to be a testimony to this world by the way that we love and forgive each other. I have two teenage kids at home. I only have teenage children, or have had teenage kids. So you can pray for me. Lord, be with Benny. And, you know, my daughter's older. She's a senior in high school. My son's in eighth grade. And so, you know, when they're little, they play with each other and they get along. But when they hit the teenage years, something happens. They stop getting along with each other. You know, they start fighting with each other, you know, and yelling at each other. And that, as a father, is probably one of the most irritating things about teenage kids. Okay, they won't listen to you first, right? They won't listen to what you ask them to do, right? They'll deliberate in their heads for, like, you know, 5 months before they decide to do what you ask them to do. And then number two, they just don't seem to get along with each other. And that makes me so angry. Why? Because as a father, I love them so much. And I want them to love each other. And when there is that fighting and infighting between them, it just breaks my heart. And I think that is very much the heart of God the Father. When he looks down at us and he sees how even people in here might have grudges against each other, may have unforgiveness towards each other, it just breaks his heart. I mean, he even goes as far to say in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I mean, that's a pretty heavy statement there. I'm just reading the Bible, people. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. I mean, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow. We don't like to know about that. Man, whoa, if I don't forgive, God's not going to forgive me? I'll tell you, one of the most transformative moments in my life was when I had to forgive Greg. Greg was my cello teacher. He was the neighbor who had abused and raped me. And I thought that was just for God to do, not really for me to do. But I knew that I was carrying the hurt, the suffering, and the pain a lot closer and deeper than I had originally thought. And if we're really honest with ourselves, there are probably people in our lives that we need to forgive. There are people within our lives that have offended us to the point where we can't, just the mention of their name, we just kind of like clench our teeth or just, you know, begin to frown and shake our heads. See, forgiving Greg was one of the most critical moments in my life to be able to experience the grace and goodness and favor of God. He said to me, "Benny, you know you don't have to carry around that anymore. That's not for you to carry. That's not for you to have that burden to live with for the rest of your life, because it's only going to go deep and plant seeds of anger and bitterness, and you're only going to react in certain in negative ways when you think about him or any situation that has to do with any abuse. Because what God wanted to do in my life was to see abuse and then go to it to help heal it, as opposed to try to be angry about it and try to fight for justice. Because God's more concerned about the forgiveness and the healing. And through that goodness, he shows his justice." So I want to share with you some steps that I had to walk through into forgiving Greg. And I highly recommend, I don't know if there's space in your bulletin, but this is actually a worksheet that we use with our girls at the Safe House, or if anybody that, you know, we encounter that needs to start forgiving people, we walk them through these steps, and it's actually a very liberating and freeing process. And you might not, we might start the process now, but you're going to have to end the process either at home, because it does take some time. And I would say this. The first step is, I always say, you have to write this out and actually verbally say this, is I forgive the blank, the person, because he or she did this, right? The blank. And then it made me feel blank. And to start listing out all the things that how you felt as a result of that offense or that the hurt that they may have caused in your life. Why is it important to go through those things? Because if we don't write them down, we're not taking really into account the detail of which that person might have hurt us. And we question sometimes why you reacted a certain way to a certain conversation or to a certain action or to a certain scene that you might see on the street or in a movie. You react that certain way because there's been something that was planted deep down. And you kind of need to take note of that to be able to pull out those roots, right, of unforgiveness. This is the next thing, and very important, that a lot of people don't do. Because it has caused pain within your life. That offense has caused pain within your life. You need to surrender the pain. You need to surrender the pain to God, because we are carrying this burden of pain and we need to actually surrender it to God. God wants to take it from us. Sometimes we just hold on to it thinking, oh, and so we have the right to be able to be angry. You know, I just need to have the right to be angry. But we need to surrender that. And as we surrender that to God, God is able to, like, lift that burden from you. Number three, and this is a key step that helped me get to really the next level, is to rescue back everything that was stolen or distorted. It says in John 10:10, right, that Satan is the father of lies, right? And he has come to kill, steal, and destroy, right? He's doing these things. He's trying to steal and destroy certain things, God's blessing, his intent that he has over your life. What are those things that he can steal? For me, in that particular case, with my situation with Greg, is I had my innocence stolen. I had my purity stolen. I had what my view of intimacy looks like. All of that stuff was distorted as a result of the abuse. But that wasn't God's intent. God's intent within me was to have that purity, to have that innocence, to have that a good and proper view of what intimacy looks like. And I needed to rescue all those things back because those things had been stolen from me. And as a result of that, my relationships with my children, with my wife, with my friends, has completely taken a different level, a different level of healing and of wellness and goodness, because I was able to rescue those things back. More importantly, I just kind of feel like, hey, those things were mine, and Satan tried to steal it from me. I want it back. I don't know how you are about things, but like, if I go out to dinner with my wife and we're sitting across from each other and I have my plate and she has her plate, and she reaches over the table with her fork and takes a little bit of piece of what I'm eating. I don't know if men, you guys are like this, but I don't know why women like to just try. They want to try everything. She reaches over and takes a little bit of my whatever it is. And I feel like I have to order a whole new plate because of what was stolen from my plate. God has given us this wonderful plate of life. His image, His goodness within us. And when the enemy comes and steals it, we turn. And we're like, oh yeah, sure. Have some of my steak. And we don't try to claim it back. I'm sorry. I want to have a different approach. I want my steak back. I want things back. I know I can get an amen from that, at least from some guys in the room. And in that process, I cancel any curses. So there are certain curses that Satan will whisper into my ear. He will say, oh, you're not worthy. You're dirty. Those are lies, right? He comes to distort, steal, destroy things, and then he whispers lies. And those lies are curses. And when we hear those lies and we start believing it, those are curses that we have accepted. And we actually need to cancel those curses so it no longer has a hold in our lives. We wonder why we repeat those same negative thoughts. It's because we haven't canceled those curses as we forgive. Now, step number five, which is probably a really hard one, is I had to bless Greg. I had to bless him. And I had to bless him with a fruitful life, a healthy family, you know, a healthy marriage. I had to bless him. But I'll tell you what, once I finished steps 1 through 4, it helped me. I had this such strength and power to be able to bless him freely. Because everything that had all the wrong that had been done towards me now no longer had any power. Had no more power in my life. And I was standing as how God created me to be. And so I could bless him. So I blessed Greg. And then lastly, step six, is receive a blessing of healing and freedom. So whatever the negative you felt in step one, you do a blessing to bless, ask for a blessing. Like, so if I felt a robbery of innocence, I said, God bless me with innocence and God bless me with purity, and to ask for that blessing. When I asked you guys this morning if you had somebody that you knew that you needed to forgive, I'm sure at least one or two names popped into your head. And I want to encourage you guys to take steps towards forgiveness. Because when we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, it's not just about your forgiveness and making yourself right with God. But it's how you're going to make yourself right with others. I'll even go as far to ask you, if you feel like, hey, I need some prayer right now, if you could just pray for me, because it's going to be hard for me to forgive this person. And if you could just pray for me to, through the Holy Spirit, to be able to be encouraged to forgive that person. I want to take a bold step. So if we could just kind of close our eyes at this moment, we're going to respond. And if you're that person, would you just raise your hand? You say, there's a person I know I need to forgive, and it's going to be really tough for me. Will you please pray for me? Okay, I see your hands. I see your hands. So let me just pray for you guys. You can put them down. I pray in the name and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. for my brothers and sisters here who are battling and struggling with the burden of unforgiveness, I just pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, there will be a loosening of chains right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the forgiveness of sins and the power of your blood and the grace of the cross would begin to flood them and their minds and their hearts for them to understand and feel and know how they have been forgiven. So I pray that that power and that truth would become to start overflowing within them right now, in the name of Jesus, so that he would be able to extend that forgiveness to others, to those who have hurt them, for those who have offended them. In the name of Jesus, I pray that this community, that this faith community, that this church would be known as a place of immense forgiveness and grace, because we have been forgiven much. Oh God, and that we would freely and openly forgive others. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here. May they walk in that forgiveness. May they walk in your grace. May they walk in your truth, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.